From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 7th day of April, 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, the U.S. Senate is deadlocked on an amendment blocking U.S. EPA from regulating greenhouse gases. The Colombia Free Trade Agreement appears to be moving forward. And the UN FAO is reporting the price of its food basket is dropping, not climbing. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Lisa Brautz will be in today, too, with her Every Other Week in My Backyard report. And at the end of this half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures in the wheat pit finished lower, down 9 cents in the nearby May contract at $7.73 and a quarter. July, a settlement price at $8.09 for the new crop, 9 and a quarter lower. Hard red in Kansas City finished the new crop July futures at $9.33 and three quarters a bushel, 16 and a half cents lower. May corn futures were down 4 cents in Chicago at $7.59 from the CME Group. July at $7.66 and a quarter, 4 and a quarter lower. September at $7.02, down a penny and a half, and December futures at $6.44 and a quarter, 3 and a quarter cents lower. March contracts $6.52 and a half, down 3 and a quarter cents. May soybean futures $13.63 and a half, down 13. July at $13.75 and a half, 12 and three quarters lower. August beans at $13.75 and a half a bushel, down 13 and a half. And September today, $13.72 and a half, down 13 and a quarter cents. November beans, $13.65 and a half. New crop soybeans down 10 and three quarters. May bean meal at $3.50.90 was $4.70 lower on the afternoon. The May soybean oil at $58.32 finished down 46 cents. Live cattle futures finished the April contract at $119.90, down 97.5 cents a hundredweight. The June futures there at $117.65 were 60 cents lower. April live, or rather feeder cattle, at $135.12.5, 57.5 cents lower. And the May futures at $135.72.5, down 72.5 cents. April lean hogs, $92.75 per 100 pounds, down $1.22.5. The May contract at $100.45 for the hogs, down $1.65 on this Thursday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures trading the May contract at $110.29 a barrel, up $1.46. Ethanol at $2.69 and 4 tenths, down 0.6%. Natural gas at 4 and 6 and 3 tenths of a cent, down 8 and 3 tenths of a cent. And the heating oil at $3.20 and a half cents. A penny and 4 tenths higher on the day. Gold futures at $1,458.50, a settlement price there up 80 cents a troy ounce. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,389, just about 37 points lower. The U.S. dollar currently trading at 75.57 is up 0.06. The CRB at 364.44 is 0.98 higher. And the S&P at this time at 1332 is down 3.4. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For this afternoon, a 50% chance of showers at after 4 o'clock. Cloudy, a high near 60 degrees. East winds at 11 to 13. They'll gust all the way to 17 in the Urbana-Champaign area. Tonight, occasional showers, a few thunderstorms. The low of 54. East winds at 13 to 15 and gusting as high as 22. Chance of precip tonight, 90%. Friday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Mostly cloudy skies, a high near 67 tomorrow. Calm winds becoming east around 6 miles an hour. Friday night, mostly cloudy, low of 50. East winds at 7. Saturday, partly sunny, a high near 77 degrees. East-southeast winds at 6 to 9. Winds could gust as high as 16 on Saturday. And Saturday night, mostly cloudy, a low of just 64 degrees. Sunday should be partly sunny and breezy. A high near 80, and Sunday night, showers and thunderstorms again. Some of those could be severe. Cloudy, breezy, a low of 55 degrees. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour and we talk with meteorologist Peter Levitt.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On the phone with us today to take a look at the agricultural futures markets for a Thursday trade is ADM Grain Group's Dan Zwicker in Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Well, it's been an interesting couple of weeks. We have another report tomorrow morning. Then the big number, of course, is the ending stocks. The trade now guesses that will be 586 million. The March estimate, of course, at 675. Where did you stand?
Well, I think either one's going to be impractical to attain, and I think USDA is in a tough spot here because there's no sign that feed usage is being cut back or disappearance based upon the stock's numbers. But on the other hand, you're going to have an ending stocks number of some kind, and I guess I don't know how you can really practically take it probably much under 700 or 750, and that's assuming that we could maybe bring in a couple hundred million from the new crop early in the season. So, but the trade is looking for something around 600. So I imagine USDA is going to have to recognize that, but I don't think that's practically attainable. But it might be in this case, because if USDA's numbers are right, somebody's not going to have corn to grind or feed late in the summer. So maybe a lot of these smaller ethanol plants that can't lock in their margins in the distance and the time comes where it becomes unprofitable for them to grind, that they just turn the key off and wait on new crop harvest. So that might happen.
Let me ask you this question. The trade is at 586. USDA is at 675. You say they've got to bring something in, and more like 700 to 750 needs to be on hand by the time we get there. You also say that there's no way that any of that really is going to happen. But what happens tomorrow morning if USDA says we're going to hold the line, somebody's got to blink, 675 is the number, and the trade's been using 586?
That's interesting. it may encourage people to take some long profit taking, but I think some of that was probably put into the market today. I think for the most part, a lot of people are in my position, or they think like me, that it's maybe not that big a deal no matter what they say. Based upon last week's numbers, somebody's going to have to blink at some point in time, and maybe we could end the year out with 600 or 675, but it's going to take some keys to be turned off sometime in August.
Well, you say how much do we have to turn off in August? What do you think usage has to dwindle down to? Do we have to lose 200 million in usage?
Probably or 300 in August, probably, to get through. That's anybody's game. My guess is what needs to be done is going to be done probably between now and middle part of June, and then we'll see how the remainder 6 weeks plays out or 8 weeks plays out as we go on into mid-August.
Is current price high enough to manage that process to now to June? Not given weather, but just under current conditions and normal kind of conditions for the planting season, could May corn at 759, 760, that top, that contract high, manage the process between now and June?
There's going to be a couple issues. I mean, you remember, you've got people that's wanting cash, you've got other people that own cash, and then you've got the need to ration demand. And if everybody waits to the last minute to make their moves, we could see some volatile price action in that last 30 days or last 60 days. So I don't know if anybody's going to wait to get whatever they need to be done to the last minute. I think everybody's going to be making their moves to kind of be where they want to be. This is just my guess,
right?
Sometime by mid-June, because whatever happens on that June number, whatever new June, that June number is going to be another dandy. If it shows that maybe rationing did take place, well, then it's, you know, if you're an owner of cash grain, you won't be able to get rid of it at any price. If it shows that we haven't done any rationing, then and you're a user of cash grain, you won't be able to buy any at any price. So I think a lot of the positioning will be in place, you know, by the middle part of June.
Well, let me ask the question slightly differently. Will it be the futures markets or premiums in the cash markets that does the job?
Well, I think ultimately probably it'll be the futures market, but a lot of it is going to, let's say the futures market will be the one that everybody will be watching probably, or it'll be observed. But a lot of that is already beginning to take place now with certain basis levels. It's the process of accumulating cash inventories from the end user's point of view. But like I said, a lot of these ethanol plants, they can't lock in any kind of margin. So unless they get into a real speculative position and start owning cash grain without any guarantees that they'll be able to lock in a profit, then that puts them in jeopardy. There's just a whole bunch of risk out here that the market is going to have to wrestle with, I think, between now and June. But, you know, somebody's going to have to start blinking somewhere along the line.
Interestingly, you haven't mentioned either the export market or the livestock market today.
Well, the livestock market, I mean, actually, when you look at egg sets, look at the chicken, they're actually up. So they're not ready to blink yet. Some of the export stuff can probably be postponed, and I think that's maybe what you might see. The other thing is that feed may become part of the feed ration in, you know, as wheat harvest gets underway in this late May, early June time frame. So wheat could kind of come in and ease up the corn deal. That's why I think everybody's going to have their cards played by mid-June. Nobody's going to wait until August 15th because it's going to be too risky.
Frankly, I never look at this, but I'm sure you do. Is there a feed usage for the wheat number when it comes out? And might that make a difference?
Yeah, there is a feed usage number in there. Nobody usually pays too much attention to it.
Should we for tomorrow?
That would be something that USDA could bump up. I don't think it won't have any significant impact on the wheat balance sheet because we got plenty of inventory around right now.
Right.
But it would be something that corn bulls would look at and say, we're going to see increased substitution. But I think a lot of that's kind of worked into the market.
All right. Very quickly, what do you see in the soybean market?
Soybeans are trying to make the transition, I think, away from old because there's plenty adequate supplies of old crop beans around. No need to ration to get to the finish line. South America crop came on fairly strong toward the end, so there's a lot of old crop beans around. The big question is what new crop bean balance sheet's going to look like. So that market is trying to transition away from old, and all of the big news items and the trend drivers, I think, are all going to be put into the new crop months.
Thank you so much for being with us today.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report that happens each and every Thursday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
If you haven't signed up for our weekend newsletter yet, please do and give us your cell phone number. We'll text you all the USDA reports. Just sign up at willag.org. That's willag.org. And tomorrow morning, your director of ag programming, Dave Dickey, will take care of the numbers for you. Speaking of Dave, he's here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the U.S. Senate deadlocked 50-50 yesterday on an amendment that would have blocked the Environmental Protection Agency from regulating greenhouse gas emissions. Agriculture and the possible effects on energy prices came up repeatedly Wednesday as the Senate had a debate on a bill to rein in the EPA's authority. The president has said he would veto any legislation to block the EPA's authority. The debate will likely continue as part of the battle over federal funding, as EPA opponents in Congress continue to push measures to prevent the EPA from spending money to regulate emissions. EPA has been moving toward regulating greenhouse gas emissions since a 2007 Supreme Court decision stated the agency could regulate such emissions under the Clean Air Act. The United States and Colombia moved a step closer yesterday to cementing a free trade agreement that is expected to boost U.S. ag exports to Colombia beyond last year's $832 million. The two nations struck a deal on labor issues, increasing expectations the administration will send the Colombia Free Trade Agreement to Congress. Colombia agreed to labor reforms to protect unions from violence. Once the Colombia FTA is implemented, the administration would immediately eliminate duties on almost 70% of U.S. farm exports, including wheat, barley, soybeans, soybean meal, and flour, high-quality beef, bacon, almost all fruit and vegetable products, peanuts, whey, cotton, and the vast majority of all processed products. The United Nations FAO Index of Global Food Prices came off record highs in March after falls in grain, sugar, and vegetable oil prices. The index, which measures monthly price changes for a food basket composed of cereals, oilseeds, dairy, meat, and sugar, averaged 229.8 points in March, down from February's record of 236.8 points. But FAO officials warned it would be premature to conclude that this is a reversal of the upward trend. The Rome-based agency said prices could remain firm in the 2011-12 season because an expected increase in new cereal crops may not be enough to replenish falling stocks. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Common Ground Food Co-op in Lincoln Square Mall. Community-owned since 1974, Common Ground is a full-service grocer featuring locally grown and organic foods as well as homemade healthy deli meals. More information is available at 352-3347 or at the co-op.
Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Coming up next, local fresh food aficionados are counting the days. But until those fresh veggies are ready, what to do? Lisa Brotz has one answer in her latest edition of In My Backyard.
A hallmark of early spring in our part of the country, apart from the fickle weather, is an almost primal desire by many of us for fresh food. That fondness we had for root vegetables a scant few months ago has completely faded. We can buy green things grown in faraway places at our favorite grocery stores. We have to wait until our farmers markets open in May to get the local stuff. Or do we? There's this trend on some farms toward opening things up to the public during that weird lull between very early spring and when the markets get going as a way of getting a jump start on the for real growing season. Some growers can start produce early in greenhouses. Others have livestock producing eggs or milk starting in February or March. Some of them sell the produce and other products on their farms, and others offer an experience to go with their produce, like a hot breakfast or a farm tour. Prairie Fruits Farm, just north of Urbana, does all of the above on their farm Saturdays before the market season gets underway. They're selling their own goat cheeses and other products. They're partnering with a couple local farms to have local and seasonal green things for sale. They're offering up an a la carte, all-local breakfast. And you can check out some incredibly cute baby goats. Over 130 of them at last count. Prairie Fruits Farm, co-owners Wes Gerald and Leslie Cooperman told me, evolved from a few fruit trees, a big garden, and three does and a buck to its current farmstead cheesery, orchard, and kitchen, complete with professional chef, in less than 10 years. They arrived at their current level of operations kind of by accident, but always in response to what they knew the community could and would support. Their kitchen, which they added to the premises in 2007, was originally intended to be used to preserve orchard fruit and garden produce, but they decided, in addition to that, to start working with a local chef, Elisa DeMarco, to create all local dinner menus to serve to diners interested in a four-hour slow food style meal. That was 2008. But Wes and Leslie wanted to connect more with the community, with the people they met at the farmers markets, with the people telling them that the lag between the end of winter and the beginning of market season was too long for them. So they hatched the idea of the on-farm market first, followed closely by the idea for the breakfast. Oh, the breakfast. The fresh produce is great, and there's very little cheese or goat milk gelato, the latest product being concocted on the farm, left at the end of an on-farm Saturday. But what seems to get people really jazzed is the breakfast, made from almost all local ingredients.
With the kitchen, we're like, well, how can we get more people out here? So we'll start making them breakfast, of course, with all local food. It kind of took off like a wildfire. It's become a phenomenon in that we now get upwards of 300 people coming here on a Saturday morning. For 3 hours, we have what we call open house, so people can have an all-local food breakfast. They can buy cheese. They can buy early season produce from Blue Moon or Tomino's Farm is the other one. And they can see the goats, and for a lot of people that connection with the animals is a big draw.
Chef Elisa DeMarco left her job at a busy big restaurant to come work at Prairie Fruits Farm. The kitchen size may be smaller, but that doesn't mean things are any less hectic for her or her kitchen crew.
Other kitchens, a lot of times the preparation will be done in advance, spaced out throughout the week, and we really try to capture freshness in our kitchen. Everything is about farm to table, so it's a lot more hectic right before. Goes the same for our farm dinners because everything that we do is done that day.
They serve over 100 people an hour, folks. Happy people. I found one such person while I was waiting in line for my own food. Urbana resident Lisa Hinchliff.
Breakfast out is one of my favorite things anyways, but the opportunity here to have a breakfast where it's made from ingredients that are from here and also raised by farmers that I know because I shop at the market and I talk with them and I know about how much they care for their land and their food and their passion for feeding their community. So, you know, the food is great, but there's that extra little added bonus of knowing all the people that put their heart into making it and making sure that the community is well fed.
What's happening at Prairie Fruits Farm is that value is being added. It's not being added just to food, like fruit into preserves or goat milk into cheese or gelato, but it's being added to the visitor experience on the farm. We can't all farm, and most of us don't want to anyway. But by visiting local working farms, eating something fresh and homemade, or just watching goat kids and chickens hang out, we're getting a little bit closer to what we eat.
Lisa Brock's stories can also be heard on our website, WILLAG.org. Click on the In My Backyard link in the right navigation window. And you can also read her occasional blogs at majorprogression.wordpress.com.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can visit us online at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. Time to take a look at the cash grain market this afternoon. On the phone line with us from TGM, Total Grain Marketing, in Windsor, Illinois, is Matt Bennett. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's been a busy day, I bet, for you, or maybe not. You've been watching the tractors go by instead?
Oh, yeah. Everybody seems to be getting fired up a little bit. I mean, we don't have a lot of guys going, but there's several guys scratching around a little bit.
And what do you see in your basis at this point?
Well, basis is actually holding together fairly good. I mean, we're still running you know, 20 or less in this neck of the woods off the board. So, you know, it's not too bad for this time of year. I think that basis is going to hang right in there as well because, you know, a lot of guys are saying that the ones that are still holding on to the grain are pretty tight holders of it. I think a lot of guys are down to their gambling bushels, so they're probably looking for something a little bit higher than where we're at.
And what would your normal basis at this time of year in that part of the world be?
Well, it's so hard to say because the last few years have been, you know, pretty crazy. But, you know, this time of year it starts to get a little bit better. A lot of times, you know, right around the first of the year we might be running 30, 40 under. But this is probably still a little bit better than what we'd be running, maybe, you know, maybe 10 cents or less.
And do you have your bids in front of you for the day?
Yeah, right now we'd be looking about 741 for cash corn. Fall would be 604. As far as beans go, the cash price would be 1343. And then fall would be 1325.
In 15 seconds, you think USDA's number for ending stocks will stay the same or be lower tomorrow?
I think that it'll stay the same or be close to the same.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That is Matt Bennett. He's with TGM. That's Total Grain Marketing out of Windsor, Illinois. Joins us here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Mark Report. It comes to you from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Pete Levitt now joins us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Pete. Start out west with the wheat crop for me, please.
Yes, I think that's our problem area for the next several weeks, if not longer. We've been dry in the hard winter wheat belt all season long, from the fall until through the winter, inadequate moisture, poor emergence. And now the dryness has persisted into the term of drought for a lot of the region that covers much of Texas, Oklahoma, eastern Colorado, and parts of southern and western Kansas. Only central northeast Kansas and up into Nebraska have a favorable moisture at this time. And we're looking at crop conditions which were pointed out as being 34% of poor in Kansas, 53% in Oklahoma, 61% in Texas, 43% in Colorado, mostly in those areas. This is not going to improve over the next couple of weeks as we continue to see most of the precipitation occurring to the north and east of the hard winter wheat belt. They will get a few showers in there, but not nearly enough to get the moisture they need to get this crop really rolling.
Two things, got about a minute and a half left. Will it spread, that drought that is? And secondly, how much rainfall tonight in our part of the world? I see that the National Weather Service says we're at 90% chance here.
Yeah, there is. There's a front east-west through central Illinois or south-central Illinois, and that's going to be the focus of showers tonight, tomorrow, and again on Saturday, as that front gradually dissipates and then reforms farther north. Those numbers look good to me. It looks like, excuse me, a half an inch amounts on the high end during the next 24 hours, a little less the following 24 hours, and then one day of really summer-like weather almost on Sunday as we get up into the 80s in there. And that's a prelude for a really sharp cold front Sunday night where we see thunderstorms, some of them severe, and get showers about a half to 1.5 inches, and it cools off again, and we'll be back in the same pattern we've been in. Too wet in the upper Midwest and the western Corn Belt states. Looks like they're going to have a problem getting the crops in the ground. They're going to be flooding, and we don't see much help for the hard winter wheat as far as drought is concerned.
All right. Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm, my pleasure.
That is Pete Leavitt, agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens on a Thursday afternoon. Thanks for being with us. Remember, the Closing Mark Report can be found on the website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.